and this meeting's being audiotaped and videotaped, and I would remind everybody to keep that doorway clear. Thank you. Ready? The hearing of the colon conduit.
Nope.
I just had that on my mind. The License Commission hearing agenda for Wednesday, August 15th is 3:04 p.m. We're in the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 831 Mass Ave, basement conference room. Before you are the commissioners, Chair Nicole Moratti-Ferrer and Commissioner Branville Bard. First matter, violation, Leone Landscaping and Construction for alleged violations of failing to comply with a cease and desist order of June 28, 2018. And Cambridge Municipal Code 8.16081.11B, 8.16081.2C, and 8.16082B, operating without a permit, operating before 8 a.m. on May 21st, 2018, at 245 Brattle Street. 8.16081.11B, 8.160812C and 8.160812A, operating without a permit and operating during a prohibited period on July 9th, 2018 at 86 Spark Street. 8.160811B, 8.160812C and 8.160812A, operating without a permit and operating during a prohibited period on July 9th, 2018 at 6 Clement Street.
Leone Landscaping?
Yes.
Please come up.
If you could both
please stand up for a second, and then you may sit. Hold on one second.
Please raise your right hand. Swear the testimony you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Thank you. Take a seat. Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Andrea Boyer, B-O-Y-E-R, Licensing Investigator, City of Cambridge License Commission.
Thank you.
Francesco Leone.
Francesco, was that F-R?
F-R-A-N-C-E-S-C-O. Leone, L-E-O-N-E.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Boyer.
Thank you. Leone Landscaping and Construction is a non-permanent leaf blower company. On June 28th, a letter was sent for a cease and desist and to apply for a permit due to the alleged usage on May 21st at 245 Brattle Street before the allowable time of 8 a.m. On July 9th, leaf blower usage at 86 Sparks and 6 Clements Circle, which is in violation of the Cambridge Municipal Code 816081A, B, and C, operating number 2, operating without a permit, and 816081A, operating during a prohibited time.
Okay. Mr. Leone?
Yes. On the May 21st at 7:45. At that point, we could operate a leaf blower, but after 8 o'clock, the employee made a mistake and used the leaf blower at 7:45, which he knew he had to be at 8 o'clock.
Well, let's start with this.
Yes.
Do you employ two or more people?
Yes.
Do you pay them to use leaf blowers?
Yes, we pay them to work, correct, yes.
Yep. Okay, so per our ordinance, you need a permit.
Correct.
And on May 21st, did you have a permit?
No.
Okay.
You're correct.
All right, go ahead, continue, sorry.
That's one, so yes, you are correct on that one. On the July 9th, basically, he was not supposed to use it. He was aware of it. He made a mistake. I have spoken to him, which was at 86 Spark Street. And I am in the process of filling out all the applications to obtain the permit as well as the certificate that's required along with the permit and send that in. But we take care of 6 properties in Cambridge. We do absolutely 245 Brattle Street. We absolutely take care of 86 Spark Street. We do not, never have, taken care of 6 Clement Circle. I did speak to him about that, and he said it was another landscape contractor at that location. It was not us. We do not service that property. We only service 6 properties in Cambridge, and I can give you those addresses.
Okay.
Yes.
Did your employee know who was at 6 Clement Circle?
I did not ask him that. He said it was another landscape contractor.
Okay. Okay, so when you go back, if you do find out from your employee who that was, I'd suggest you send it to Ms. Boyer so that we can take action against that.
Yes.
One. And the complainant's not here on these? Okay. So the Ms. Boyer, the May 21st, this is the one that was on the original cease and desist letter, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
How long have you been operating in Camworth?
For about 15 years.
And when did you receive the June 28th letter telling you about the our ordinance?
July 16th, I believe it was.
So you received it and... Okay, that's the notice of hearing. Had you received the cease and desist letter that...
Yes, I did receive a cease and desist letter to come here. Is that what
you... Nope. Can you show him this letter? Have you ever seen that letter before?
Yes. Yes, okay. I have.
When did you receive it?
Sometime at the end of June, beginning of July.
Okay. Did you receive it before July 9th?
I don't remember if it was... I believe so. Right around that time. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know the exact date, but when I did receive the letter, I started to fill out all the appropriate applications that are necessary to do that online, as well as apply for the business certificate, and I know that needs to be notarized, so I'm in the process of having that done and sent out, because it's required as part of the application to send that along.
So you're in West Newton?
Yes, I am.
You don't have a business certificate from West Newton?
I never needed to get one from West Newton that I was aware of. West Newton just enacted the leaf blower law also at this spring.
Okay.
We do have the approved leaf blowers that we use, which are below 65 decibels, and we also do have the hand electric blowers that are allowed at certain times. Cambridge, Newton, and Brookline, they have different time periods when you can run the blowers and you can't run the blowers, and sometimes the crew leader or the crew individual who's on that property gets a little confused. Wellesley and Weston have not enacted that, so again, it does get a little bit confusing from town to town, as well as time periods and time of start.
Okay.
But I do know what the rule is. I've looked it up. I've studied it, and I'm training each and every person to abide by that.
You carry in the trucks, you keep like some type of cheat sheet for them, so that they'll...
We do. Well, we have started to after I received the letter.
Okay.
And we have not used any blower at all in Cambridge for no reason at all, just brooms only, once I received the information.
All right, so I would suggest... Did you have any other questions?
I don't.
So I would suggest a violation warning for the failure to comply with the letter of June 28th or June 16th. I would find a violation for the July 9th with the $300 fine, and then I would find on 86 Spark, and I would find no violation on the July 9th 6 Clement Circle.
I agree.
Okay. Thank you. We'll send you a statement of reasons with
Thank
all
you.
The information.
Thank you very
Thank you.
Much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Violation, Michael Hanlon, Jr., Landscaping, Gardening, and Design, holder of leaf blower permit number 10683. For alleged violation of Cambridge Municipal Code 8.16.081A, operating during a prohibited period. Specifically, it'll allege that Michael Hanlon Jr., landscaping, gardening, and design employees used leaf blowers on June 22, 2018 at 12:02 p.m. and July 13, 2018 at approximately 12 p.m. at 10 Craigie Circle. Michael Hanlon?
Second call.
consideration, Winding Road LLC, doing business.
This actually was taken off the agenda, isn't it?
But I thought you wanted it on the record.
Well, yeah. You don't need to read the whole thing,
okay.
I don't think.
Okay. Abigail did submit a complete application.
So that was taken off the agenda for our board's position. Oh, sorry, Ms. Lynch, can you go back to number two? The reason they're not here is they filed the waiver of hearing.
Ah.
Okay, so Mr. Hanlon, owner, filed the waiver of hearing, and he said that the worker did use the blower, and he used it without his permission or knowledge. It was stored in the trailer because they were doing a job outside of Cambridge, but in the future he was going to make sure that blowers are not left in the trailer when they're in Cambridge. The workers themselves have asked for these to be stored off-site because they're too tempting not to use. And then he does have a note here, which I'm sure we will send, which is basically that he is, the offending blower is a battery-powered blower and quieter than any other mechanical devices, and he doesn't understand why the noise ordinance applies to them, but that's the noise ordinance. With that said, these are for three violations, June 22nd, July 13th, and August 9th. And I believe...
The only ones noticed on the agenda are June 22nd and July 13th.
Yeah, but no, there was a third one on the hearing notice. So it's June 22nd, July 13th, and August 9th. The August 9th was actually one observed by one of our investigators. Previous violations, and they have none. They have no record. But with that said, I would do a violation on all three and issue a $300 fine for each.
I agree.
Disciplinary matter, Eastern End Incorporated, doing business as Eastside Bar and Grill, 561 Cambridge Street. Holder of common victualler or all alcohol license number 11333 for allegedly permitting a disorder, disturbance, or illegality on a licensed premise in violation of 204 CMR 2.052 and Mass General Laws, Chapter 138, Section 23, to wit, sale of alcoholic beverages other than those purchased under Section 18 or 19, transportation of alcohol without a permit in violation of Mass General Laws, Chapter 138, Section 22, possession of any alcoholic beverages or alcohol not authorized to be sold or used under the terms of the license in violation of Mass General Laws, Chapter 138, Section 30H.
Good afternoon. If we could please raise your right hand.
You're all set. Swear the testimony you're about to give, please, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Thank you. Please take a seat. If you could please state your names for the record.
Andrea Boyer, B-O-Y-E-R, investigator for the City of Cambridge License Commission.
Christopher Kaczynski, Eastside Bar and Grill, K-O-S-I-M-S-K-I.
Thank you.
By Eastside, I'm sorry.
Ms. Boyer?
Yes, thank you. Based on an investigation started on April 30, 2018 and concluded on June 27, 2018, I found evidence that Eastside purchased alcohol from a package store instead of wholesalers in violation of Mass General Law 138, Section 23. The investigation details are as follows. On April 24, 2018, Mr. Michael Weiner, owner of Save More Spirits in Somerville, called our office. Mr. Weiner stated that there was an incident at a store between himself and the owner of Eastside, Mr. Chris Kaczynski. I had submitted the police report for you from Somerville. Mr. Weiner also reported Mr. Kaczynski may have purchased alcohol from his store for Eastside. The attached, there was Save More liquor invoices that were attached to the report as well. They are dated from April 1st through April 24th, 2018. During a task force inspection on May 5th, I noticed a keg Harpoon draft beer in the downstairs cooler at Eastside. Eastside had a delinquent account with Harpoon wholesaler and not received a shipment from them since October 2nd, 2015. That invoice was also attached to the report. In addition, Horizon Beverage also distributes Harpoon kegs, had not delivered to Eastside Bar since June 4th, 2008. On June 27th, as a response to my request for purchase invoices, Mr. Kaczynski provided me with alcohol purchase receipts, none that were from wholesalers. They included City Liquors in Cambridge. On March 2018, it was dated for 17 units of alcoholic beverages, totaling $174.15. April 2018, 17 units of alcoholic beverages, totaling $242.45. Cappy's in Medford, February 2018, 17 units of alcoholic beverages, totaling $170.51. March 2018, 17 units of alcoholic beverages, totaling $170.91. From Total Wine and More in Everett, March 2018, 41 units of alcoholic beverages, totaling $294.35. Liquor Junction in Somerville, June 2018, 6 units of alcoholic beverages, totaling $99.34. And then Save More Liquors in Somerville, March 2018, 8 units of alcoholic beverages, totaling $184.12. Those receipts that were given to me, Mr. Kaczynski, was part of the report as well. When I spoke with Mr. Kaczynski, he informed me that he did not know that he could not buy his liquor, beer, and wine from a package store. He has now placed his order with MS Walker. That receipt is also part of the invoice was given to you. And all the out of focus, bless you.
Thank you.
In my investigation, I noticed that one of the invoices provided by Savemore liquors was dated January 2018, and a review of the Eastside record show that liquor license was not issued until February 2018.
Thank you. Mr. Kaczynski? When was the last time you purchased from a package store?
The receipts that I had given Andrea. I'm not sure exactly what that was. I didn't really look through any of this because I'm not trying to deny doing any of it. I was forward and forthcoming.
So the last time, well, according to what we have from, was March 2018, that's the most, I'm sorry, June 2018.
Yes.
And you have been in operation since when, Mr. Kaczynski?
2006.
Yeah.
Chief Investigator Boyd, in your experience, why would the harpoon kegs be left in the inventory, so to speak, without being used for that longer period of time?
Well, at that time, that was actually hooked up to the keg system.
It was being
yes.
used.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ms. Boyer, have you had a case like this before in Cambridge?
No.
And Mr. Kaczynski, you're not denying the allegations?
No. I can give you more information on anything you want to know. Any questions you want to ask me about any of it? The harpoon order, you can see how extensive the order is. We don't sell that much alcohol in my restaurants. It's 85-15. When it's really good, it might be 80-20 food to alcohol. The harpoon list is in October. That's when we would have Oktoberfest.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have my four taps were harpoon. What they used to do is somehow because of Oktoberfest, they could justify donating me the kegs at that order that they have there for the invoice.
Not donating the alcohol.
Okay. I don't want to, my actions are what they are. I don't want to get anyone else in any kind of trouble for anything, any misinformation they may have given me, or
do you currently have any of the alcohol that you purchased from package stores? Do you still have that on your premises?
There may be a handful of beer bottles, but that's it. Everything else is what I got from MS Walker.
No, I don't.
So, I went through some ABCC decisions on similar cases. They range from 30 days all the way down to warnings. It looks like it depends on the way that board was constituted. I think 30 days is way too much, especially considering that, unlike the ABCC does take payment for a certain amount of days in lieu of suspension. I do think this is more in line with a couple of cases where they have 4-day suspensions with 2 days to be served and then 2 days to be held in abeyance. So that's where I'm sort of at. I do note that the licensee does not have a disciplinary record with us. So, but he has been in operation for a long time. This is one of the bedrock rules of liquor licensing, where the places have to buy from wholesalers rather than package stores through the three-tier system in Massachusetts type thing. But so I think my suggestion is 4 days, 2 days to be held in abeyance for a year and 2 days to be served. That would be my suggestion.
I can go with 4 days with 2 days held in advance, although I do think that it's a high degree of sophistication to get around the requirements, but 4 days is within the line, and two of them being held in advance, I think it's fair.
Okay. So. Do you want to hold it 2 days for longer, or do you want to...
No.
Okay. So, violation... 4 days, 2 days to be held in abeyance for a year, you'll receive a statement of reasons.
What's that mean? I'm sorry.
So we basically found a violation, and then we're suspending your license for 4 days. However, only 2 days will have to be served, and then 2 days will be held in abeyance for a year. So if no other violations are found against you, those, but none of that goes into effect until you receive a statement of reasons from us. Okay?
Okay, so from the letter, it'll tell me what dates and... Okay.
Yes,
okay. All right, thank you. No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
April Patron, on behalf of the Richmond Group, has applied for a special noise variance from August 4th through October 31st, 2018, on Saturdays only from 7 a.m. until 9 a.m. at 399 Binney Street to coordinate and accommodate the schedule of Eversource Gas and Electric, as well as August 4th through October 31st on weekdays only from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m., same address.
Did you call 5 and 6 together? I'm sorry,
yes.
I wasn't listening.
Yes, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
April Petroni, A-P-R-I-L. Last name is P-I-T-R-O-N-E.
Okay. And this one we're hearing because on the area where you guys are proposing for these noise variances, we've received a lot of complaints regarding noise. So why don't you tell us a little bit more why you're needing these variances, and then we'll have Ms. Boyer.
So just a little bit of background on the project. It is on the corner of Binney and Cardinal Medeiros. Two of the sides to the north and the east are landlocked. To the north we have the cinema, and then to the right is the plaza work where we have ongoing utility work that is basically cutting out the access to that site. which leaves us with Cardinal Medeiros and Binney to load material for logistics. Over the course of the project, we applied for the construction permit and logistics plan through the city, which was reviewed and approved, which showed us having three gates on the corner of each of our site, as well as the corner of Binney and Cardinal Medeiros with unobstructed access through the course of the project. There's been several utility projects from Eversource that have affected our ability to utilize the gates, both gas and electric, as well as some North Point drain work that came through through DIBCO West on behalf of the city. Both of those, or all three of those, have basically affected our ability to utilize the logistics as they were approved, so we are just seeking somewhat of relief from that with a noise variance that would allow us to load material off hours as needed.
So if I'm understanding correctly, the weekday 6 to 8, what would you be doing there? Are you finishing off your construction day or cleaning up the site?
It's really targeted just to load material for the next day's work so that we don't lose any time and we can kind of hit the ground running the next day. So we would be utilizing lifts and cranes, really mostly lifts, from the Binney Street side only. We do understand that we have residential neighbors on Carno Madero's and they've foregone a lot of hardship because of our work. So with respect to that, we want to request only loading from Binney Street. It would be material loading. We would try to utilize just lifts. It's a little bit less obstructive to the neighbors from a noise standpoint, as well as a setup logistics standpoint for all of that. So it wouldn't really, sorry, I have allergies. It wouldn't really be ongoing work.
And the 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., the same thing?
Same intentions.
But if you're finishing on Friday from 6 to 8, if you're, you know, doing the material loading, then why do you need the 7 a.m. early start on Saturday?
We don't envision using the variance every day. So it would really just be an opportunity as needed. If there is material available Saturday mornings, we would request to utilize it, but we don't see it being every day, Monday through Friday, where we're loading 6 to 8 and then just picking it up again on Saturday. So,
but potentially if we were to grant the weekday one and you don't have the weekend one, then you could prepare. I mean, if you're asking for both weekend and weekday and it's really just for the material, as you say, then quite frankly, you don't need the Saturday because Friday night you finish off what you
Understood.
Need to finish.
And that's why we kind of applied for them separately with the understanding that it would highly unlikely we would get granted both, but we wanted to at least put the opportunity out there to see if one's preferable to the city, then we would accept that, absolutely.
Ms. Boyer.
Yeah, the complaints that we received have been basically about the Saturday and with the Sunday situation that transpired. So if it's not needed to be done on Saturday, I probably think that would put the residents who live on Carter Madeira's at least.
Do we have any neighbors here that wish to speak on this, or abutters, or anyone that wish to speak on these? Anyone in favor? Anyone in opposition? Do you have any questions?
No, you have
So I would deny the Saturday one. I mean, I think there's so much construction in that area, and quite frankly, I understand that. I mean, I know that DPW told us that, you know, the project has had some issues because Eversource has to finish their stuff before you guys can do your stuff, and Eversource needs to do it before the cold season comes in, so I get it. But quite frankly, I think this area has suffered enough, and I don't know that there really is a need other than to accommodate your schedule for the Saturday variance, so I would vote to deny that one.
I'm in complete agreement.
Okay. So variance denied as to the Saturday. As to the weekday, Ms. Boyer, this went through all the other departments, traffic and parking, DPW, ISD, and they have no issues with any of these?
That is correct, and I do believe that DPW did explain that based on the Eversource and the timeline and so forth, it's really to accommodate schedules.
Okay. And then you say that you would do this on the Binney Street side only?
Yeah, that is the intention, is to just load from Binney. We fully
understand. Is that where we're getting our complaints from?
No, we are getting them from Carno Madero's.
Okay.
So Binney Street, just for your information, is business abutters only.
Mm-hmm. So I would suggest granting the weekday one with the condition that it can only be for lifts and cranes from 6 to 8, for the material loading on Binney Street side only.
Okay. So much for your time.
Thank you.
Application RRGHS LLC, doing business as Blackbird Donuts, has applied for a new common victualer license at 1350 Mats Ave kiosk with seating capacity of 6. Proposed hours of operation from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. all days. Rebecca Roth-Gulo is proposed manager of record of a premise described as 286 square feet on the first floor, consisting of a food service counter and 6 seats located within the whole. Within the Holyoke Street kiosk, which is a large open food hall located within the Smith Campus Center.
Hello. Hi. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
RebeccaRothGullo.
Thank you. How do I pronounce your last name?
Well, Gullo, I think, is what it is. That's what my husband says. Gullo.
Gullo. Okay. Thank you. Ms. Gull, can you tell us a little bit about what, is this the same as the one on Brookline?
I brought them so you guys can see them.
You can show everyone. Are these the ones that are, where is it that you have this? You have this in Fenway, right?
Yes. So okay. This is Fenway and Tremont Street, and this is.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not trying to buy you guys, I'm just showing it to you.
No, we understand.
Just gonna leave. Okay. Hi. So we're a donut shop. We sell coffee that's locally roasted for us in Dedham, donuts, and a soft serve ice cream, which is vanilla and chocolate full fat soft serve ice cream.
Locally roasted in Dedham, but not grown.
No. It's
okay. Like, what?
Yeah. No. They are grown in Columbia, brought up here, and then roasted for us in Dedham.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
I did have a question. The application talks about you have a number of seats, 6.
Yes.
But you have standing room as well with a total of 15 occupancy, if that's the case?
So it's within the large atrium of the campus center of the food hall, and there are 6 ADA compliant bar stools that are within our space. And
because you are in that big...
We're in the huge space, so we're a very teeny kiosk, and then there essentially is the length of here that people can sit and watch us pour coffee.
Okay. And do you make them... there?
No, we do not. We make them in Tremont Street and are moving to a commissary location in Brighton. And I have the menu too, if you guys wanted to see that.
I think
as well.
You.
Oh, I just brought them just in case.
Did you put it in the application?
Yeah.
I thought
I just
we saw
brought
it.
Extras yep. Just in case you need it.
And 7 a.m. to 10 p.m.?
Yes.
7 days a week?
Yes.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I would vote to grant.
Great.
And then I'm just going to put here that it's for 6 total seats.
Yes.
And occupancy. All right. Thank you. Proud she has left the the donut.
Not trying to favor anything.
Now they're going to speak in your favor.
Okay.
Thank you.
Application Mavenue LLC, doing business as Sakana, has applied for a new common victualer license at 963 Mass Ave with seating capacity of 19, proposed hours of operation from 7 a.m. to 12 a.m. all days. Yuha Huang is proposed manager of record of a premise described as approximately 900 square feet on the first floor with kitchen and dining area separated by a counter and storage in basement.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Yes. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Attorney Russell Chin. My office is 400 Hancock Street, Quincy, Massachusetts, 02171.
Thank you. And your name?
My name is Yuha Huang.
And how do we spell that?
Y-U-E-H-U-A, and the last name is H-U-A-N-G.
Thank you. Will you also be the manager of record?
Yes.
Okay. I only ask because in the application, the name manager is the phone number.
My mistake.
That's fine. I just wanted to make sure. Okay. Why don't you tell us about Sakana?
So, Mr. Huang is intending to replace the restaurant that is currently there, which is known as Anthony's Cafe or Cafe Anthony. And the address is actually 983 Massachusetts Avenue, I think, on the agenda.
So yeah, there's a mistake on the agenda. Thank you.
So we have executed a lease for that location, and we plan to change the interior to a sushi restaurant. Mr. Huang has been a master sushi chef for several years. The seating will not be changed. I think it's 19 seats. It's a relatively small inside. And he's also looking for a monitor to reflect the menu as opposed to entertainment.
Yes, and I saw that zoning said that it's going to be on a TV, and zoning had limited that TV only for display of the menu items.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And then you say on the application that you're not going to be open for breakfast, but you want to open at 7 a.m. I'm confused.
Yes, so the 7 a.m. hours there are simply what is currently provided to Cafe Anthony, so we didn't want to change.
Okay, why don't we license ready. What you want? What is it? What are your hours of operation?
What time do you want to open?
11.
11 o'clock.
And what time would you close the business?
10.
And you are not looking for any alcohol, is that correct?
Not at this time.
Okay. And then other than the TV for the menu items and the background music, there's no other type of entertainment?
No.
So, okay.
Maybe just leave it at a less restrictive midnight, but I think,
Do you want to keep it at midnight, just in case?
Mr.
Huang, I think, misunderstood. I think you would prefer to keep it at midnight. If you can close sooner than that, depending on business, I think you will.
Okay.
So your hours be 11.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to the petition? Okay, I would vote to grant with the condition that the TV is only for display of menu items as required by zoning, and with change of hours from 11 a.m. Would be the opening. The closing would stay at midnight. Oh, I did have one more question. The floor plan, you said 19 seats. I think the floor plan had 24 some sections, but it's just 19. Is that correct?
It is 19. What they are intending to do is put some bench seating, so the seating actual number may have reflected 24, but it's really 19.
Okay.
As opposed to individual chairs.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Application Greek Kitchen 3 LLC, doing business as Saloniki, 1350 Mass Ave, has applied for an annual entertainment license for live musical instruments and or vocalists with amplification and without amplification, radio, TV, one stage or separate area for live dramatic performances.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Sure. Jonathan Mendez, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N-M-E-N-D-E-Z, Chief Operating Officer for Saloniki Greek.
Thank you.
Blaise Cohen, B-L-A-I-S-E-C-O-H-E-N. I'll be the general manager at this location.
Thank you.
Paul Gibbs, P-A-U-L-G-I-B-B-S.
attorney?
No.
No?
Just consultant. I tried my best to fill out the application, and I know it was somewhat confusing.
Thank you.
These smell great, by the way.
Please take one.
No, no.
She left them there. Okay.
There's a coconut one, too. There's one with a marshmallow, too.
Now, Mr. Mendez, were you here when we granted this license? Okay. I remember that there had been an issue with regard to the address at this location.
Yes.
Is 4 Kilmarn...
Kilmarnock.
Thank you. Street. Yeah. Is that now the street that that Harvard's giving it?
No, that's the Fenway location.
Oh,
but that
okay.
is the corporate. But that is the quote corporate address, the legal address of the corporation.
Ah.
Because this is all part of the Harvard Smith Center construction. So we have 75 Mount Auburn. We have 1350 Mass Ave. So we have
1350 Mass Ave is actually the legal address of the building.
Correct. Yes, yeah. And we're keeping it at 1350.
Yes,
correct.
Okay, and this is corporate address. Okay, now.
And the hours of operation.
Yes.
So the hours of the live music is not 7 a.m. to 12, but okay. The application had hours of the business. So that's what I put in. The hours of the business would be 7 a.m. to 12 a.m.
Well, the business also does not have a midnight.
It doesn't?
It does not. The business has 7 a.m. to 10 p.m.
So some of this, now I can try to explain this one as best I can.
No, I'm sorry. Officer Zito, can you do me a favor? Can you go upstairs and ask someone to give me the Saloniki file for 1315 Mass Ave? Thank you.
So I did the CV license for Saloniki Greek for the Smith Center.
Okay.
An attorney did the alcohol license.
Yes.
He had some other information. The addresses were different. He had, what's the side street there? He had that street as the primary address. I had Mass Ave. We had different hours of operation, so it's been a little confusing.
Okay, so let's start.
Start fresh.
Saloniki, 1315 Mass Ave.
Correct.
You guys are still under construction, yes?
Yes.
We haven't set capacity because you were still under construction, yes?
Yes.
Okay. What were supposedly the hours of operation that are being envisioned for Saloniki at 1350?
7 a.m. to midnight. So 3 day parts, we'd have breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Okay. And then the alcohol portion of that, is that 8 a.m. to midnight, or are you guys envisioning 11 a.m. to midnight, or... And
11.
On Sundays, 10 a.m., 11, 12.
Yeah. So on Sunday, we are going to do a brunch. Monday through Friday, there'll be breakfast. So, I'm not envisioning anyone coming in to drink at 8 in the morning at Saloniki. You know, we're not a bar. We're not, you know, kind of a boisterous restaurant. If my guess is it would be, you know, 11 a.m. starting with lunch and going to last call at 11:45 p.m. For alcohol, and probably 10 a.m. to 11:45 p.m. on the weekends.
So you want people to drink earlier on the weekend and later in the weekday?
Well, if they were coming for brunch, yeah. Or at least having the option, okay. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm literally just trying to understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Early bird gets the worm, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. And so then, the entertainment for this would be 7 a.m. to midnight.
Well, so the entertainment was really born out of one of the members of the LLC, Eric Papakristos,
mm-hmm.
who met people at Berkeley who from Greece who played guitar, played instruments, and they formed a nonprofit organization to basically donate money. So he wanted an annual live entertainment license for this purpose only, and didn't want to do one-time entertainment licenses, which you could have gotten, but he could have been here 25 times,
mm-hmm.
could be here 2 times. So we figured it would be easier for him to do it, just an annual, and just do it. but it's not a bar. It's not live entertainment every night, every weekend. It's basically charity events, donations, that type of thing. And Eric and Blaze can, or John and Blaze can certainly explain more for the intent of it.
Do you want to explain more?
And there's no stage. There's no stage. Yeah. It's just an area where they have it.
Yeah, I mean, the concept for, I don't know if you've been to the Saloniki down the street near MIT or the Saloniki in Fenway, but those are very distinctive fast casual restaurants, and our intent with Cambridge is to build something kind of one step up in between fast casual and full serve. Mm-hmm. So we're going to offer a limited service model in that you'll walk up, you look at a menu, you order, and the food's brought out to your table, very similar to a tate. And we looked at, you know, things to enhance, you know, the experience for our guests. We're pivoting both the menu and kind of the feel of the restaurant more to being Greek and less to being kind of the Chipotle industrial look. And we're going to use a lot of kind of Greek design elements, you know, in it. And part of that is having the ability to do some Greek music. And these are classic, you know, classic Greek songs, you know, very, you know, coming from the 40s, 50s, 60s. And these two individuals from Berklee College started this nonprofit as a way of giving back to orphans in Athens, Greece. So they saw their music as their vehicle to provide that opportunity for people, you know, back in Greece that otherwise wouldn't, because Greece is still going through their economic crisis. So we wanted to, you know, find a way to partner with local nonprofits, you know, to give back and to become more ingrained in the community, and also to share Greek experience and music and culture with everyone.
Well, this Saloniki, since it's a little bit different from the other two, are you going to have silverware rather than the paper product?
Correct.
Are you going to make sure that people don't throw that on the floor when you're playing the
typical? Yes, yeah. There will be no breaking plate, because then my China glass silver budget will go through the roof.
Well, no, I ask because this is a thing.
Yes, no, you're right. It is a thing. I just came back from Greece, and it is very much a thing. But yes, we will not allow that.
Again, I'm just trying to figure out what. Okay. So I am not wrong. Food service hours 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. And then with alcohol after 11 a.m. That's what ended up happening at the original hearing. This already came back from the ABCC, yes or no?
I don't think so.
No. We amended the hours of the food application. The food application said that it would open at 11 a.m. and we amended that at the hearing to start it at 7 a.m. But the closing time is 10 p.m.
Oh.
So the good news is we have time.
Okay.
And what I would suggest is just filling out a change to change the closing hour to midnight.
Mm-hmm.
I think you already have the hours that you want for alcohol generally, although it looks like you may want to change that for Saturday and Sunday to 10 a.m. because right now you have an 11 a.m. opening hour for your alcohol license.
So we can just leave that then.
And what is the closing for alcohol?
10 p.m.
Okay.
So with that said, let's take entertainment. Now, this says 7 p.m. to midnight. I'm assuming that you don't want to limit yourself to a 7 p.m. opening for the entertainment.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So would we say 7 a.m. and whether you start the live entertainment later, that's whatever, but your background music and all that jazz, 7 a.m.?
Yes.
Okay.
That'd be great.
So now the conundrum for us is, even if we shut down their food and alcohol at 10 p.m., would we allow them entertainment to midnight, or do we foresee not having an issue with a midnight closing, or do we give them a 10 p.m. closing to be in line with the other ones and then hear everything for the midnight further down?
I think you hear with the midnight closing option.
For the entertainment?
Yeah,
okay. All right. Now, the other thing that I wanted to bring to your attention. The zoning sign-off for this one, there's no issue with it, but I do note, I remembered that we had not set capacity because you guys were still in the work. The zoning sign-off here limited it to 103. So I'm not quite sure if that's the number that you guys, I remember it was a bigger number. In terms of, it was in the hundreds when you guys were here. So I'm not quite sure if this is something that's going to, just keep it in the back of your minds and work with ISD on that to just make sure that you're all on the same page on that.
Absolutely.
Okay. With that, anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I would vote to grant 7 a.m. to midnight. Granted.
Great.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to take my donut, but on the other hand, will we get a notice on what we have to do with this?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you will get a letter, and then I'll make sure that in the letter we put the information on the hours.
Okay. So it's been somewhat confusing, as you can.
Yeah. Thank you.
See.
No problem. Thank you.
Administrative matters, discussion to determine whether the fees associated with one-day entertainment licenses as they relate to community block parties with unpaid local musicians should be reevaluated.
So this is based on a city council order. And we have gotten, as you know, some emails from certain councilors with regard to this. And a couple of neighbors. Generally, what I would say on this is, I think we've discussed this in the past in terms of other types of fees and with nonprofits and stuff like that. There's a lot of work that goes into this, both administrative and enforcement-wise. The fee used to be $40, and it was increased in July of 2012 to $50. But I think, you know, it has remained unchanged, even though we have a significant number of one-day events. You know, in 2017, we had 331 entertainment. And just the beginning of 2018, the first 6 months, we're already at that number. And so, you know, it's not only the administrative task of getting people licensed and going through the hearings and the reviews, but it's also the enforcement of the investigators to go to these events, monitor this event, if there's a noise complaint regarding this event, whether it's that day or a follow-up, they have to do the work as well. You know, and I think we get into this slippery slope of, we don't really ask, there's no separation between what's a block party, what's not a block party, a paid musician or a paid entertainment versus a non-paid entertainment. None of that is also in the law. I think this just lends itself to a lot of slippery slope. My recommendation would be that I think the fee is reasonable and doesn't even cover the cost of processing, regulating, and maintaining these applications and licenses. And even though that doesn't even cover it, I think because we have such a robust social agenda in Cambridge and we want to encourage these, I believe that's why the board has not increased this fee since 2012, and I don't foresee an increase anytime soon, but I think it should stay as is.
I think it's reasonable as well, and we'll vote to leave it as is.
Okay.
The discussion, special noise variance application fee, and special variance permit fee.
Okay, so this is, right now we have a 75 non, excuse me, can we take a break for a second? I just need to come
on. Okay, back on the record.
Yep. So the special noise variance is right now we have a $75 application non-refundable fee, but there is no permit fee. Now with the new system that we're going to have, we're going to be able to generate a permit, and as you know, these have a considerable amount of work after the fact and during with the investigators monitoring them and dealing with follow-ups and all of that. So I would suggest to keep the application fee and to do a $100 permit fee if we approve it.
Sorry. Excuse me. Hello?
Anyways, so I would say that we keep the 75 non-refundable fee for the application and then do a $100 permit fee. Effective immediately, I would say. Or how about we do it effective as soon as they go online for the viewpoint system? So why don't we do September 1st?
September 1st.
So I'm not sure why, but the Harvard application did not make it on.
Yes, it is. It's on it. It was there at some point.
It was.
I think that's what. That yeah, so let's call it.
Let's find it.
Well,
in this file. That's bizarre.
That's right here. I'm sorry, are you here for the Harvard license?
Yes.
Educational license? Come on up. Please. Thank you. Oh, it's right here. It's number 20. Presidents and Fellows of Harvard College DBA Riverview Commons and Conference Suite at 1315 Mass Ave, 10th floor, has applied for a new all-alcohol educational license and entertainment license at that address. Good afternoon,
ma'am.
Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
My name is Syed, S-Y-E-D, Shahadullah, S-H-A-H-I-D-U-L-L-A-H. Wrong name.
Thank you. And you are?
I'm managing director.
Okay, so you're the managing director, and you would be the person monitoring this operation, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Julie Kreitz, J-U-L-I-E. Last name Kreitz, C-R-I-T-E-S.
Thank you, and Julie.
I'm director of Common Spaces, so I'll be running the programming for this new Smith Campus Center Spaces.
Thank you.
Alexandra Afiong, A-L-E-X-A-N-D-R-A. Last name is O-F-F-I-O-N-G, and I'm with the Harvard Planning Office.
Thank
so
you.
Working on the whole Smith Campus Center renovation.
Now I understand that I could see sort of like the nods every time there was something regarding Harvard.
You supported the application.
I'm a little familiar.
I wish I raised my hand.
You should have spoken up. But now I understand that the head
smiles.
Okay, got it. Okay. So this is a Chapter 138, Section 14 license, the 204 CMR Section 7 for an educational dining hall. And I think based on the application, what's understood is that there's going to be like a cafe area in this on this floor.
Mm-hmm.
This is for Harvard students and affiliates only, if I'm correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
For Harvard affiliates and their guests, so faculty, staff, students.
And then a conference room area and space to which you will cater whenever you need to.
Yes, it's based on the events.
And this is just limited to this 10th floor, correct?
Yes.
Can you do the floor plans? The floor plans?
Yes.
You brought big ones. Well, since you brought them, you might as well open them up and let's take a look at them.
Let's get donuts.
Oh, no,
just. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So just to be clear, there is one side of the building that is the conference facility, and this side does have a cafe, but it also has other lounge spaces and game rooms and all kinds of common spaces, a variety of spaces.
And I think you submitted multiple plans because of the way, if it's a conference room setup, you'll have different capacity and whatnot and everything.
Yes.
And is this already fully finished, like complete? No.
Nope. The whole building is nearing construction completion, but not quite yet, hopefully very soon.
Okay, great. So you will probably get certificates of inspections with occupancy numbers from ISD with those different capacities and stuff. So we'll have that and we'll certainly incorporate that. Okay. And Said, I'm sorry, how do I pronounce your last name?
Shahadullah. You can call me Said.
Shahadullah. Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience with liquor and food and beverage?
Actually, I'm in the Cambridge, actually, last 8 years working for Harvard in the faculty club and events management. I am the VC licensed for the Harvard faculty club also. So I'm actually very familiar with the law and everything. And plus, we actually go a step beyond sometimes. Harvard policy.
Excellent. Thank you. Any
questions? No. You just said Harvard's policy is more restrictive than the...
Food service, yeah, actually, we have the Valerie Nelson, I think you guys know. She followed more history for food service.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, considering that this is a 138 section 14 license, a special license under 204 CMR section 7, I would vote to grant as is and as applied.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Sorry for the wait.
Oh, no worries.
Thank you. Thank you.
Matter deferred from July 11th, 2018, Cambridge Sound and Security Incorporated, doing business as Cambridge Sound and Security at 234 Monsignor O'Brien Highway. Holder of garage license number 14371 due to alleged violations of failure to timely, properly renew and operating without a license, in violation of General Laws, Chapter 148, Section 1, et sec., and Cambridge Municipal Code 8.08.
Okay, so we had deferred this vote because during the hearing, the gentleman had represented that he only had three spots, and there was a question as to whether or not he needed a license. But upon inspection, it was confirmed that they have more than, I think they have about 10 spots. So I would confirm and at this point validate the vote that we did on July 11th, which is to have one day held in abeyance for a year for their licensee's record.
I concur. One day.
Okay.
Application, Coffee Company, LLC, doing business as Intrepid Cafe. Holder of a common visual license at 150 First Street with a proposed hours of 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday. Seating for 12, occupancy of 60, as applied to add a general on-premise wine and malt license at said address. Hours of 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday. May DeLuca is proposed manager of record. Premise described as approximately 900 square feet in one room on the first floor with one entrance and exit on First Street. So we got the plan that you wanted, which should be in the folder.
So we had held on this because we were missing the lease, the updated lease that would allow them sale of alcohol, which they have submitted. Their corporate vote had a typographical error in it with the date, the year. It was like 1980-something. And that has also been changed. And then we had questions on the floor plans because they submitted a whole bunch. So the and then with regards to the premise description, I know that we did that at the hearing. The premise description should be approximately 1,200 square feet, because that's currently what they have. They're not changing it. It's just that the COO issued with the 900, because that's the public area. It doesn't include the kitchen area. So the premise description would remain as the one that they currently have. We had voted that this would be a common victualler with wine and malt and not a general on-premise license. The one issue here is that their seat is currently limited by zoning for 20. So I would vote to grant, as we had voted in the previous hearing, as a common victualler with wine and malt. But I would change the seats to 20, and I would also change the square footage to 1,200.
All right, so seats to 20,
mm-hmm.
square footage to 1,200. Does occupancy, does that change?
No, occupancy could stay at 60.
Okay.
Right. Because the seating that they gave us per their plan is more than 20. So that's why I would limit it to 20, which is what's in zoning, even though the application
gotcha.
Said 12. I think that was a clerical error. Okay. So granted as a CV with malt and wine license. With 20 seats, max occupancy
60.
Square footage 1,200. Sorry.
Adamir Guarini on behalf of Chef Catering LLC, doing business as the Chef Grill Truck, has applied for a Hawker Peddler license.
Hold on, we're still signing.
I'm sorry?
We're still signing.
Oh, sorry. Matter deferred from July 11th, 2018, La Fabrica Central, LLC, doing business as La Fabrica, 450 Mass Ave, holder of common victualler, all alcohol license number 11593, has applied to amend the occupancy of the front room to 113 standing occupants.
Okay, so this changed a little bit. As you may recall, during the hearing, multiple issues came up. They worked with ISD some more. They also submitted the capacity and crowd flow work plan, which was one of the conditions. So I would acknowledge receipt of this first. So and then with regard to the actual application, after further review of the plan and the what the architect had submitted and what ISD looked at and everything else, I would change our vote because we had voted pending ISD and zoning approval and submission plan. So I would change our vote because our vote was basically to change it from 41 to 113. I would change it to comply with what now has been discussed with ISD and approved,
which is that the front bar room will have 41 seats. When the seats are all removed, then they have a maximum of 72 standing in that front room when the stage is in use. And then when the stage is not in use, a total of 83 standing. That would mean the middle room stays the same as 65. And then the back room would remain with the capacity of 143 if seating, 380 if standing, and if the front room is with the 41 seats. When the front room has the stage in use and the 72 standing, then the back room standing would be 332. And then when the front room is in standing and the stage is not being in use, the back room would be 343. That would be my vote now.
I concur.
Okay. So front room alternate capacity, 72 standing, stage in use, 83 standing. Stage not in use. And then back room. Alternate. And front room standing. Would be 343. And stage in front in use, and 332 in front room, stage not in use. All right. I do not want to move on from La Fabrica, so before
okay.
You call something else, hold on.
Okay.
That is with regard to what was there. I would also like to bring to the table the fact that William Kelly, their attorney, has reaffirmed that they are going to appeal the 4-day suspension.
Yep.
The 4-day suspension. So he is asking for us to stay the suspension while the appeal goes on, and I would approve that.
As well.
Okay. So we acknowledge and grant request for stay of suspension. While appeal is ongoing. And then, do not move up yet. And then the other thing for La Fabrica is I'd like us just to acknowledge that the hearing for the appeal would be held October 11th at ABCC. We don't have to attend. Okay, so board acknowledges. Now you may move on.
Okay.
Thank you.
Consideration of waiver, Michael Peering on behalf of Landscape Collaborative New England, holder of leaf blower permit number 10704, has filed a waiver of hearing for operating a leaf blower during a prohibited period in violation of Cambridge Municipal Code 8.16.0812A.
So Mr. Peering had received a notice for a couple of violations. One was on June 27th at 9 Rutland, and one on July 17th at 74 Sparks. He filed a waiver accepting responsibility and basically said that that he's discussed the ordinance with his maintenance crews on a couple of occasions. He didn't think it was necessary to take the blowers away from the crew, but obviously that this might be something that they need to do. And he asked for leniency with the fine since this is the first offense this season. However, I would note that in 2016, he received two similar violations, aka using the blowers during prohibited periods, and on 2017 he received a violation for using multiple blowers when he wasn't supposed to. So I would issue a violation for both the June 27th and the July 17th and issue a $300 fine for each.
I
consideration of waiver, Tom Willard on behalf of Tom's Landscaping, holder of leaf blower permit number 10691, has filed a waiver of hearing for operating a leaf blower during the prohibited period in violation of Cambridge Municipal Code 8.16.08128.
Okay. We have Mr. Willard's waiver of hearing, and he's apologizing for the leaf blower being used on June 19th and 26th and July 12th. He had a meeting with all his employees and went over the leaf blower rules in Cambridge. We also have a letter. Who's Jimmy Cassidy?
Waste Measures.
Okay. Not sure why he's sending us a letter, but it says they're a small business. Oh, he's speaking on behalf of mm-hmm. the company. They're a small business. The employee was removed from the company. That the violation be a warning or a reduced fine. And he wants resources for small businesses that want to work and establish in Cambridge. So he, in 2017, he received a letter with regard to the cease and desist, and then he got permitted this year, and then he has these three violations. Quite frankly, I think the permit's pretty clear. He has been provided the stuff, and I think consistent with everyone else, I would find a violation for June 19th, June 26th, July 12th, and issue a $300 fine for each. Ms. Ware, did you want to speak?
Yes, please. On this case, I also received a telephone call from the property owner stating that the employee had also been let go and that the employee had been told previously not to use it.
Oh, they were all on Paula Street?
Yes. Thank you.
And your decision would be?
Well, I mean, I would vote consistent with what we've done with everything else in terms of a fine. Ms. Boyer, do you know if if you had informed Mr. Willard prior to the hearing notice that you sent him on July 16th about the three occasions?
No, that would have been just the...
So he wouldn't have known that his employee used it until we sent him
the letter, notice of hearing? Correct.
On
July 16th.
So, warning for the 619 and then violation for the two following? Am I understanding the dates correctly?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to look at the email chains here to see if... Okay, so June 27 was when we solidified that the address was and the company. Then on July 12th, we received another complaint, and then that July 16th was when the hearing went. And did you talk to Tom Willard?
No.
What was the date of the third violation?
July 12th. What is it? What's the vote that you, what's your vote?
Warn them for the first one, July 19th, I think it is, and violate them for the last two.
And then issue the fines for the 26th and the 12th? Okay. In the interest of a quorum, let's do violation for all three, warning for 19th, and for the 26th and the 12th, a $300 fine each.
Consideration of waiver. Nicolazzo and Sons Landscape, holder of leaf blower permit number 10685, has filed a waiver of hearing for violation of Cambridge Municipal Code 8.16081A, operating during the prohibited time.
Okay, Mr. Nicolazzo originally had received a notice with a violation for June 20th at 8 Craigie Street, June 25th at Walden Street, and July 11th at 75 Sparks. Mr. Nicolazzo accepted responsibility for the June 20th and for the July 11th, and then he informed us that the June 25th was not him, and he provided us information of another company which has almost an identical name, and that they don't maintain 205 Walden, and they're also not in Cambridge on Monday, so I would just acknowledge for the record that I would dismiss the June 25th. Alleged violation. And then with regard to June 20th and July 11th, I would find a violation on each. I would also issue a $300 fine on each, since in 2016 he had the same violation for the same thing twice.
Okay. Lyon and Sanders, on behalf of Progressive Credit Union, has provided the License Commission with notice of intent to sell medallion number 134 at public auction on August 16th, 2018 at 2 p.m.
Board acknowledges.
I, doing business as Darwin's, holder of license number 11588, has filed an application for a one-day extension to their existing license to remain open on August 16th, 2018 until 11 p.m. for a private function.
I would vote to grant.
Charlie Moore, on behalf of Turner Construction, has applied for special noise variance to be exercised.
Hold on. I'll say those because we have one that's not listed there. So August 17th from 8 p.m. to midnight, this is to install cones and signs. On 8:18 from midnight to 7 a.m. for hydraulics at Broadway. On August 18th from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. for rig and drop. On the 18th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. also for the rig and drop. And on August 19th from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. to take down the crane. And this went through a whole bunch of reviews and no one seems to have any issues with it. I would vote to grant. With the condition that they must obtain a Sunday work permit for the August 19th from the Cambridge Police Department. Granted.
OK,
Pierre Belizaire on behalf of Eversource has applied for a special noise variance from August 20th through 24th, 24 hours for gas main construction and repair.
Just a clarification, this would be for Monday through Fridays only. There's a whole bunch of stuff that they have provided us, and this is basically so that Eversource can prepare for the cold season, so I would vote to grant.
Timothy Cottrell on behalf of Commonwealth Construction Corp. has applied for a special noise variance on August 31st from 12 to 5 a.m. at Bishop Allen Drive and Temple Street for a drill.
This work would be in the manhole, so I would vote to grant.
Timothy Cottrell on behalf of Commonwealth Construction Corp. has applied for a special noise variance on August 31st from 12 to 5 a.m. at Ellery Street, south of Cleveland Street.
I would vote to grant as well.
The Cheesecake Factory Incorporated, located at 100 Chamberside Place, holder of common victualler alcohol license number 11347-1, has applied to add two TVs to their license.
Did they provide you the
form? I requested it. I was told it was going to be sent to me, and I did not receive it.
Okay, I would vote to grant pending submission of the floor plan showing where the TVs are located.
Concur.
Limit Group, LLC, doing business as Craven Shallop, has applied for a vendor peddler license at Sydney and Erie Streets on Mondays.
Anton.
Jerry Finnerty, on behalf of Jay Moriarty, has applied for a special noise variance on August 18th from 7 to 9 a.m. at 555 Technology Square.
For the train setup, Granton.
Application deferred from July 25th hearing, Godin Street, LLC, doing business as The Rising. Holder of common victualler, all alcohol and entertainment license number 11554 at 1172 Cambridge Street, has applied to amend their existing live entertainment license to allow for amplified sound.
Okay, so this one, we had some questions regarding zoning approval and whether live entertainment and if there were any limitations to the accessory use that was granted. And basically the answer that we got was that in the past they've allowed maximum two-person music twice a week. As for amplification, they do not have any guidelines but would assume that we control the noise. I know that in the hearing, there was mention that in the meeting with zoning that Mr. Trenner had said that he would only amplify the singers. And did he say that did zoning say that was fine, the amplification of the singer, or no?
They said, what I was told was that that could be a condition that the license commission chose to put on the license.
The way that we voted was pending a definitive answer from zoning regarding the terms of conditional accessory use. If no contradiction from zoning, approved for two-person music twice per week with amplification only as a singer, not instruments. I'm not quite sure if you feel, I know that we sent you the email responses from ISD, so I'm not quite sure if you want to vote on this or if we wait for Mahoney or...
I read it uncomfortable.
Okay.
Yes,
on it. Okay, so voting the same way that we voted on July 25th?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we are affirming the board's vote of July 25th. Yep.
Minutes from July
11th. So it would be affirming granted. Thank you. minutes of July 11th. I would vote to approve.
One-day applications. Eliza Rafferty, on behalf of Catered Affair, has applied for a malt and wine license at Harvard Art Museum, 32 Quincy Street, on September 6th, from 7 to 9 for a cocktail reception.
Grant.
Hannah Burgess has applied for an all-alcohol license at the Cambridge Boat Club, 2 Jerry's Landing, on August 25th from 7 p.m. to 11:59 p.m. for a wedding reception. Jonathan Tago has applied for an entertainment license at MIT, 84 Mass Ave, on September 7th from 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. for a party.
Granted with the condition, please be totally fired.
Shamika Stallworth has applied for an entertainment license at Cambridge Masonic Hall, 1950 Mass Ave, on August 24th from 6:30 to 11:30 p.m. for a Suite 16.
Granted, although I would note that she did not apply from 6:30 to 11:30, she applied 7 to 11. However, I would grant it with the hours of 6:30 to 11:30 to be in line with the permission letter.
Granted.
Michael Palmer, on behalf of Blueprint Medicines, has applied for an all-alcohol license to be exercised at Far City, 45 Sydney Street, on August 16th from 3:30 to 7 for a social event.
So since submission of this, he has said that he only needs a malt and wine license, even though this is a not-for-profit event that could be eligible for an all-alcohol. So I'd say that we consider it as a malt and wine. And with that said, I would vote to grant. I would also vote to grant with hours of 3 to 6 per the letter of permission.
Granted.
Paul Clark has applied for a malt with entertainment license at Forest City, 64 Sydney Street, on September 16th from 9:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. for a road race.
Granted, with the condition of this detail required.
Grant.
Nicola Williams has applied for an all-alcohol with entertainment license at Forest City, 38 Sydney Street, on October 12th, with a rain date of 13th, 6 to 9:30 p.m. for a fundraiser.
Granted, I know that the permit that they obtained gives them many more hours for setup and cleanup, but however, it was clear that the service of alcohol and entertainment hours would only be 6 p.m. to 9:30, so that's how I would issue it. So as applied, but I just want to put that on the record.
Thank you. Wong Meng has applied for an entertainment license at Cambridge Common, 1500 Mass Ave, on October 14th from 2 to 4 p.m.
Granted.
Julia Hallman, on behalf of Formaggio Kitchen, has applied for malt and wine with entertainment license on Huron Ave on September 23rd from 12:30 to 4.
Did we get the police sign off and the permits?
I spoke to Steve LaRosa yesterday. I think I mentioned to you they were going to make some amendments on it and then issue it, and that he had met with...
But what kind of amendments? I mean, are they amending hours?
No, just configurations and parking meters and things like that. But they had numerous site visits with police and fire and traffic and parking, and that all were in agreement.
We meet September 12th, don't we?
Yeah.
I defer until we get all that information for the amendments. And also so that we can get the police sign off, because as of yesterday we didn't have one.
Mm-hmm. Is that a viewpoint application?
Yes, it is number 17458.
Okay, then that's right. Then I wonder why the police didn't sign off.
It's because it was still in original submission. It's the one I emailed you on.
Oh, all right. Mandrit Zorman has applied for an entertainment license at Cambridge Masonic Hall, 1950 Mass Ave, on August 17th from 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. for a birthday party.
Granted with the condition of police details required.
Mark Johnson, on behalf of the Harvard Film Archive, has requested a one-day extension of existing license, number 10989, on September 1st through 2nd from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. for an all-night film series.
So they usually close their license, or current license, through 11 p.m., so it would be 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. They've done this a couple of times in the past, and we've had no issues, and this is for an all-night boxing series event for movies and stuff, so I would vote to grant.
Cynthia Guevara, on behalf of the Salvation Army, has applied for an entertainment license at Forest City, 23 Sydney Street, on August 24th from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. for a fundraiser.
Granted.
Ashley Hopper has applied for a malt and wine with entertainment license at Harvard, 10 Akron Street Courtyard, on August 24th from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. for an outdoor film screening.
Granted, with the condition that the alcohol must be sold.
Melissa Robinson has applied for an all-alcohol license to be exercised at Harvard Law School, Pound Hall, 1563 Mass Ave, on September 13th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. for a cocktail reception.
Granted.
Margaret Kucher has applied for an entertainment license to be exercised at Glass House, 450 Kendall Street, on August 25th from 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. for a private party.
Granted.
Marianne Maroney has applied for a wine license at Pemberton Farms, 225 Mass Ave, on August 23rd from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. for a wine dinner.
Okay,
we have items that were added after posting. Sophie Michaud has applied for a one-day entertainment license at Lafayette Square on August 18th from 7 to 9:30 p.m. for a concert.
Granted, with the condition that cannot block the sidewalk or impede pedestrian traffic in the area.
Shore Gregory, on behalf of Les Sablons, has advised the License Commission that they ceased operating on August 2nd and are planning to transfer the license. David Stewart, on behalf of CP East Garage, located at Kendall Center, holder of garage license 14515-1, is requesting to amend their license from 844 spaces to 824 spaces.
Granted, and I would vote that if there is a change in the fee, aka that they overpaid, that no refund is issued. We had an opportunity to do this at renewal.
Jeff Lundquist, on behalf of the Richmond Group, has applied to extend their approved weekend noise variance on Cardinal Medeiros Avenue to September 8th at 7 a.m. and September 15th at 7 a.m.
Okay, so this one, they're requesting the extension because they haven't been able to work. We had granted them a couple of days. They hadn't been able to work because of the sheet metal worker strike. With regard to the September 8th, I would deny because there's a feast that is not in that particular street, but it will be affected, these streets will affect, and the route gets affected if this variance is granted. And also, even though they didn't ask for the 9th, if they come back for the 9th, I would say no to that because we have the Caribbean Festival, and there's no details enough. So I would deny as to September 8th, but I would grant it for September 15th.
I concur.
James Atkins, on behalf of John Moriarty & Sons, has applied for a special noise variance
at 555 Tech Square, 160 Broadway, on August 25th from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. for a crane. Jeff Saka, on behalf of J&J Saka Incorporated, has applied for a special noise variance.
Can I keep saying this one? They changed it again.
So
now they changed it to just be on August 18th from 12 a.m. to 9 a.m. That's the only time they'll need it. This is so that they can do it when City Hall is closed. So I would vote to grant.
Okay.
And also no fee since this is a city project.
Right.
So granted for 8/18/18, 12 a.m. to 9 a.m.
And then I have to apologize. I did not print off my last list of things that just were added yesterday and today.
Okay, the next one is Michael Monstein from Central Square Business Association for a kickoff party at the IDEO parking lot on August 16th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. This is a malt and wine with DJ.
He uploaded everything that we needed.
Yep, I would vote to grant, and with hours of 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. per the permission letter, and also to allow them time for the takedown. Yeah. Oh, these didn't get stamped either. Vita Burrell for MIT Dormitory. This is entertainment license for patrons, dancing, some performers, and DJ on August 26th from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. Granted. Ms. Lentz, I see that you have here that has MIT approval. Did you notice whether or not MIT police asked for police detail?
Tara told me just that they had MIT approval. She didn't say detail.
Okay, so I would vote to grant.
I will check.
And then just put police detail if MIT police requested it.
Agreed.
Okay, the Holy Trinity. I didn't get any of these before.
Because they came in late yesterday and early this morning.
Holy Trinity for a festival on September 9th from noon to 5 p.m. And this is for wine and malt. And for patrons dancing, live music, amplification. Granted, and again with the other one, police detail is requested by police.
Granted.
This is Michael Monestine. If you already did this one, this is a duplicate. And then we have the Glass House. They requested a couple of one days for various dates. They are for September 4th, 11th, 25th, October 2nd, 9th, 23rd, 30th, and 28th, November 6th, also October 13th for the Oktoberfest, and for August 16th, 23rd, and 30th, and the 22nd, 29th, the 5th, the 12th, and the 19th. And this is to extend to their area. They have also requested, they understand from our previous vote of, I think it was 2016 or 2017, that we would allow these quote-unquote extension of premises Chapter 138, Section 14 licenses for annual licensees without payment, but up to 30. So they have an employee who has applied for 30. This is another employee who's now applying for the next change. They have already spoken to their landlord about getting the permission to actually have the annual license extend to that, and they will be filing that in the fall. So they are requesting that for these, that they be charged, and they're fine with paying the malt and wine one-day license fee. You vote to grant?
Yes.
Okay. So granted as malt and wine, chapter 138, section 14. Other noise variances from Halmore Corporation. One is for 1 Kendall Square, August 18th, with a start time of 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. would be, and it's for hoisting the mechanical equipment on the area. We haven't heard from traffic and parking on this, but this is on the 18th and today is the 15th. So I would vote to grant unless to grant but not issue. And then we can't do that either because, yeah. I mean, one is in the plaza. It doesn't even look like they're going to be on public way. Officer Zito, can you do me a favor and get Andrea for us, please?
Yep.
Okay. No, because he submitted those, and I'm not even quite sure that this is the one. I don't know if Cara printed this one for us, and this is the old one, but
for Glass House.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what.
That's the old one.
No, we had the...
Or did they submit the actual... Because they submitted in the old form.
In the old form,
and
then that came
them.
In today.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't tell from the stuff there since it's all scattered.
Well, I had asked her to put the ones that were for later on the next agenda. But, so I didn't expect them all to be there.
Ms. Boyer, have you heard back from Traffic and Parking ISD, and do you have a recommendation on the 1 Kendall Square and the Cardinal Medeiros for Halmore Corporation?
Is that for the September?
No, this is for the October 18th. These are the ones that came in
thank you very much.
Yesterday that were sent around. I think it was yesterday.
Had heard back from I think it's pending traffic and parking and did not hear back from ISD either.
Do you foresee an issue with this? Is this like in are these in any areas that
they have actually been there before, 7 to 5. Is it I don't think traffic and parking would have an issue. They haven't before. And I know ISD would be fine. I don't know if I can take responsibility for both of those approvals, because I do know that.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to know. I mean, and quite frankly, in this area, DPW would be the one that would know most in terms of anything else that's going on.
Correct.
And the police said they had no issue with it, so I would vote to grant both of them.
I would also.
Okay, so granted at the Halmore Corporation on 818 at One Kendall and granted for the same company at One Kendall one at Cardinal Madero's, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Granted. And yes, that is all. Motion to adjourn.